A special word of thanks to all involved in preparing to lead the worship today, the musicians and the folk here at the front, and Lynn, of course, there as well. There are times in life when it is necessary to have a closer look at something. For example, if we are thinking about changing our car, we don't just go by the pictures on the dealer's website. We go along to the forecourt or to the showroom to have a closer look. Some people buy things online these days, but when it arrives, it may not be as we had hoped, because we hadn't had that closer look that's available to us in a shop. A closer look is sometimes called for at this time of the year to help us in our understanding of the Christmas passages, to help us understand some of the characters involved in the Christmas story. I have in mind this morning the shepherds, and I want us to close in on them for a few moments, have a closer look at their involvement with regards to the birth of Jesus. They are written about in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 18, if you wish to follow. I suggest to you we see in this passage, Luke 2, 8 to 18, an unexpected surprise. Folks, these shepherds were doing what shepherds did in those days. They were minding their sheep. Really, it was just another day or night at the office for them. Probably the most exciting thing that ever happened to them was a visit from a prowling wild animal, which is why they were keeping watch over their flocks at night. But then the Bible says, Luke 2, verse 9, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were afraid, or they were terrified. What an unexpected surprise for those shepherds. Now, this is not to say that the shepherds weren't expecting a Messiah or Savior, as spoken of by the prophets, but they would not have known some of the details about his arrival into the world. I guess if the shepherds thought anything about the arrival of the Savior, they would have been thinking of it in more grander terms than they were soon going to experience as they made their way to Bethlehem and to a stable, and then to a manger in a stable. You know, the shepherds in those days were not a highly esteemed group of people. The very nature of their work kept them out in the fields and mostly away from mainstream society. Neither were they all that well educated. Some say that shepherds in those days, that they were a shifty lot and always on the move. And if something went missing in a town or a village, shepherds very often got the blame. So it seems strange, does it not, that some shepherds would be the first to hear the announcement about the Savior's birth. At that time, there were leaders in Rome. There were priests, lots of them, in Jerusalem, and philosophers in Athens. But God didn't invite any of them. God didn't involve them. He went to the shepherds. In our passage, Luke 2, 8 to 18, we have an unexpected surprise. Friends, God still surprises people. God still comes alongside ordinary, everyday people seeking our attention, wanting our involvement with Him in kingdom things. And in God's eyes, no one is insignificant. Before God, everybody is somebody. And He invites you, and He invites me, just as He invited the shepherds to come and see Jesus. Which brings us to the next point in our passage about the shepherds. An unexpected surprise, yes, also an unusual sign. Bethlehem may have been a little town, but finding the right baby wasn't going to be easy, even in a little town. So the shepherds were given some details that would help them to find Jesus. Luke 2 verse 12 reads, "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." The fact that the baby would be wrapped in cloths or swaddling clothes wasn't unusual. In those times, most babies would be found that way. I guess if I was to walk into a maternity ward in any of our hospitals and look at the newborns, they would be all wrapped up in the same kind of blankets. The unusual part of this sign to the shepherds was the manger. Not many babies before the time of Christ or afterwards began their life journey in a manger. Think about it. The Lord of Glory's first resting place was an animal feeding trough, very likely cut out of stone. And there we have majesty in the midst of the mundane. Folks, that's unusual. Sometimes when children open presents on Christmas morning, they are a bit puzzled at what they've got. Perhaps it's in kit form and has to be assembled, has to be put together. Or maybe it's something that wasn't on their list and they're puzzled for a while. What is it, they ask? I imagine these shepherds felt a little bit like that, puzzled at God's gift and puzzled even more at its setting. Let me digress for a few seconds. I think the message of the manger is twofold. First, it shows the depths to which God was willing to stoop to show us His grace and love. Jesus stepped down from the highest throne of heaven into the humblest crib on earth. Down from His glory, we sing in one of the carols. God not only loved us enough to become one of us, but He loved us enough to become the least of us. The manger also means that Jesus is accessible to everyone. Jesus wasn't born in an ivory tower or cradled in a palace nursery, and so be out of bounds for many people. Once the shepherds found the stable, they could approach Him freely and look upon Him freely. The manger is still a sign to us today that God came near. Someone has put it like this: God came not as a flash of light or as an unapproachable conqueror, but as one whose first cries were heard by a peasant girl, a sleepy carpenter, and a ragtag bunch of shepherds. Friends, I believe this. If the Christmas story tells us anything about God, if the Christmas passages reveal to us anything about God, it's this: God, Almighty God, comes near to men and women and young people to show his interest in us and to reveal his love for us, and also to give us opportunities to consider him, that we might turn to him, that we might turn from ourselves and our sins to him and commit to him. An unexpected surprise, an unusual sign, and third, an unrivaled story. It is said, and I believe there's sufficient evidence for it, these shepherds became Christianity's first evangelists. Notice what the shepherds did after their visit to Bethlehem and to the stable. After they set eyes on Jesus, what did they do? Verse 17, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And there's every sign that the shepherds spoke with some excitement about their experience, because when others heard from the shepherds, they were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Verse 18. This tells us something, doesn't it? It tells us that the good news about Jesus Christ is meant to be shared. And the best people to share it are ordinary folk who have had a personal experience of him. These shepherds, they weren't preachers. They may not even have been good with words, but they had a story to tell. And their story touched people's hearts and changed people's lives. And the good news about Jesus Christ still does that. Challenges minds, touches hearts, changes lives, redirects lives, turns lives around. Christian friend, if God has unexpectedly broken into your life, you have something to share. If you've come to Jesus and been changed by trusting him as your Savior, you've got a story to tell. Many people who won't accept the authority of the Bible or set foot in a church will listen to a humble, personal story about how we came to Christ, or about how Christ became real to us. Not everyone we seek to share the gospel with will listen to us, but our part is to share it and leave the rest to God. A story that is unrivaled in that it speaks of God's love for the world. A story that is unrivaled in that it didn't end in a rough hewn cradle, but on a rough wooden cross on a hill outside Jerusalem. And so making the forgiveness of sins and peace with God wonderfully possible for all who will put their trust in him, for all who will repent and believe. A brief, closer look at the shepherds in Luke's passage. From the unexpected surprise and from the unusual sign, we have an unrivaled story. The best news that has ever been given to the world, to men and women and young people just like us. Over the Christmas season, amidst all the other things that go on at this time of the year, the trees, the tinsel, the twinkling lights, over the Christmas season, let's try, let's try and keep looking closely at the story. It is his story. It has relevance for us all, for our present, and for our eternal good. Let's pray. Lord, forgive us if we have been rushing on, attending to things that have become so attached to Christmas. If we need to do a bit of detaching this week, will you help us to do that so that we might see with fresh eyes the great thing you were doing on the first Christmas, that with fresh eyes and renewed faith we might see Jesus in all his love and glory, coming to do for us what we can never do for ourselves, to grant us forgiveness for our sins and to reconcile us to peace with God. Amen.